I'm sorry I haven't a clue. The antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. Today we're coming to you from Edinburgh, the splendid capital city of Scotland, which thrill seekers come every year to enjoy the festival and to catch a glimpse of its remarkable tattoo. Incidentally, thrill seekers hoping to catch a glimpse of my remarkable tattoo do so by private appointment only. Please welcome our regular teams today. On my right, Willie Rushton and Tim Brooke Taylor. On my left, Graham Garden and Barry Cryer. And please give a very warm Scots way hey for the lady who looks after the points, the delightful Samantha. Our first round is entitled Historical Headlines. In it, teams, I'd like you please to come up with some likely newspaper headlines that one might have found in the morning papers after a certain historical event. The event is the gunpowder plot. Barry, will you start?
The Daily Mail, government knives out for forks.
Willie,
the Financial Times, boom fails to materialize.
Graham?
The Star, fuse, what a scorcher.
And Tim?
The Guardian, remember the 4th of November.
Or the Star, guy forks it up.
The Mirror, group 4, deny responsibility.
Son, pretty star, ate my banger.
Exchange and Mart will swap 8 barrels of gunpowder for 1 asbestos suit.
Any more on that?
Spiritualist Weekly. Now there'll be fireworks.
I say, let's try another. This time it's The Creation. Graham, will you start us off, please?
The Telegraph. Universe manufacturer goes out of business after 6 days.
The Lancet. BMA warn rib transplants can cause lumps on chest.
Barry?
Daily Star. I'm over the moon, says God.
Daily Mail, snake problem at theme park.
last 2 visitors forced to leave. The Times, nothing happened yesterday.
The Irish Times, Genesis Goodview.
News of the World, spot the apple and win a Skoda.
Well, we're running out of time, so let's hurry on. Hurry on to a round that's called One Old Song to the Tune of Another. This should not be confused with the latest Andrew Lloyd Webber musical. It is, in fact, a couple of old songs to the tune of several million. In this round, teams, I'd like you to... Teams, I'd like you to... Well, I say I'd like you. I'm actually paid to ask you to sing the words. To sing the words of one well-known song to the tune of a different one. Now, in practice, this is quite difficult, but I noticed that you'll be accompanied by Colin Sell on the piano. So, in reality, it should be almost impossible. Graham, you're going to start, and I'd like you to sing Je ne regrette rien to the tune of the Camptown Races.
Non, rien de rien. dont je ne regrette rien, ni le bien qu'on m'a fait, ne le mal. Tout ça m'est bien égal, non rien de rien, non je ne regrette rien, t'es meilleur à la
And as Graham shoots into the lead, we have Tim now. Tim, you're going to sing Where Did You Get That Hat to the tune of the Dam Busters.
Where did you get that hat? Where did you get that hat? Isn't it a knobby one? I've got the proper style of knobby. I look like to have
all the bouncing bomb.
Mr. Bob Wallace, the man. All together, then. Willie, you're going to sing My Old Man's a Dustman to the tune of Girl from Ipanema.
Dustman, he wears a dustman's hat. He wears gold limey trousers and he lives in a house of flat. He looks a proper nana, he looks a proper in his green hobnail boots. He's got such a job to pull them up, he calls them Daisy Roo. Oh, my old man's a dustman. He wears a dustman's hat. Hey, where's your blimey trousers? And he lives in a council flat. Some folks get tips at Christmas, and some of them forget. So when he picks their bins up, he spills them on the step. Now one old man got nasty, and to the council wrote. Next time my old man went round there, he punched him up the throat.
Okay, Barry, with all to play for, you're going to sing Oh What a Beauty to the tune of The Sunshine of Your Smile.
That went well.
Never seen one as big as that before. Oh, what a beauty! It must be 2 feet long or even more. It's such a lovely color and nice and round and
okay, well, according to Samantha, you're all doing jolly well. Our next round is called Critics For 'Em or Against 'Em. In this round, teams, I'd like you to take it in turns to play the parts of two critics discussing a certain subject upon which you're in two minds. I'd like you to start off being very positive about it. However, when I make a noise like this...
They left the swing bridge.
I'd like you to completely change your minds and so on. Okay? Right, Tim and Willie, you're to start, and your subject is the program Through the Keyhole with Lloyd Grossman.
This is a wonderful program. Ooh. You omitted to mention Sir David Frost, who, of course, I think this is probably the peak of his career.
Yes, probably the highlight of a distinguished career.
A very distinguished career.
But now he's
not completely mad. It could mean his white jackets to be coming for him, quite frankly.
And not before time.
Quite right.
Not before time. It's a terrible program. It's the basest sort of program. It pries into people's lives. And that's the sort of thing people want to do.
We do, yeah.
We want to know.
I can't think. I wouldn't have Lloyd Royston in the house socially, quite frankly. But I know that's positive, are we? I'm sorry.
It has had some very, very good panelists on the last series, I remember.
Will you
ask them? Unfortunately, Tim Rotella.
We're
now negative now.
Everyone knows what they were doing.
What's up? Ex-comics, what are they? You know, you think, oh, that's where they are. I haven't seen them on television for years. And on the other hand, why haven't we seen them on television for years? Because they are true genius in the comics.
Through the keyhole.
It's very awful program. A nice sort of way.
Good.
Yes, that's enough. That's enough.
You've done very well.
Always stop when you're on top, I say. Marion Graham.
We don't wish to bribe.
Marion Graham, it's your turn now, and your subject is Noel's House Party.
Well, what a fresh, innovative program. Now, there's been nothing like it for years.
It's seminal.
And yet, let us examine that word, seminal. Copied from other fresh, innovative programs.
Goes on far too long.
Goes on far too long. As does Noel. Yes. My God, what a time warp on legs
goes on
that
man.
And we can't get enough of him, can
no,
we?
No, no.
Can't get very enough interesting. Of dear Tim. Old Noel and Mr. Blobby. I mean, what can you say about
Tim was saying earlier, these people should be on television, and sometimes one hasn't seen Noel for minutes.
And what about Wait Till I Get You Home, with the little children telling stories about their parents? Is that absolutely disgraceful?
Now it's time for a round called Celebrity Lonely Hearts. In this round, teams, I'd like you please to come up with some suggestions for lonely heart advertisements that famous people, alive or dead, might have placed in the hope of attracting a mate. Okay, Tim, will you start, please?
Miss White seeks seven dwarves with a view to a bit of hi-ho, hi-ho.
I'm Dracula. Ring before dawn. Oh, there's a box number.
I got one for one of the loneliest places on earth, GMTV. Dull but earnest couple with sofa. Seek like couple in any part of Britain with a view to being viewed.
There's one from Lord Baden-Powell. Arcala seeks brown owl. Interest. Boys in shorts, discipline, camping and not. Has own woggle.
What was that box number again?
John Gummer's inserted one. There's a miracle.
There it is.
Come on, girls. There must be a glamour puss out there still looking for a real good time with a well-hung hunk.
One from Fergie. I've got the toe if you've got the dough.
Any more? Okay. Our next round is an unusual game called Straight Face, the object of which is not to amuse the audience. And now for the unusual part. Each team member should take it in turns to suggest an unamusing word. Anyone caught arousing mirth will be disqualified. I shall now attempt to arouse Willie and ask him to start.
Time, please.
Go on, Willie.
Good luck to you. Oh, you're speaking to me. I thought.
Get on, Willie. Sorry, time's running out.
Kilt.
Bottle.
Woggle. I didn't hear him.
Toasty.
Trout.
Grocer.
Glass.
Plin.
Sort of a...
Well...
Titteret.
You know your own business best.
Like an usherette. Runs round the audience.
Okay, Willie. Come on, Willie.
One
serious game.
Goose.
Kangaroo.
Kaylee.
Terrace.
Cauliflower.
Microphone.
Boggle.
Bat.
Cheese.
Festival.
Gusset.
Oh, sorry.
Ow.
Yeah, I think there was a definite laugh there, Barry. I'm sorry. Okay. Sorry to lose you. Did I explain to you that the last one who's left in wins? But now, that's the only point I can see to the game. Willie.
Zone.
Toast.
Tattoo. Clone.
Clown.
Scone.
Sorry, Jim. So it's head-to-head now between Willie and Graham Garden. Hey, and we'll start with you, Graham Garden.
Avocado.
Proboscis.
Oh, got friends in, have you?
You found their level.
Okay, that puts Willie beyond reach of the others, so we'll carry on.
Thank
to...
You.
You don't want to know who won that, do you? Now time to play Call My Bluff, an extremely entertaining game which was once a television program with Robert Robinson and some celebrities. In it, teams are asked to provide definitions of an obscure word, only one of which is correct. If the audience will suspend their disbelief for a moment, and someone will lend me some fish glue for my hair, I shall act the part of Robert Robinson. A new team should pretend to be celebrities. So, Mr. Brooke Taylor, you're to start, and the word is artichoke.
Artichoke. This is a word for a cheap and efficient killer, named after mafia boss Artie the Throat Ferrazzi, who's a cheap, efficient killer. The word comes from his most famous headline of cheap slang, which read, "Artichokes, three for a dollar." The artichoke cheap slang. On the other hand, it could have been named after an Australian hen, a chook. This is for something that's primitive, that's taken seriously. In Australia, this chook had paint tied to its webbed feet and encouraged with grain to walk all over the canvas. It took the Australian economy by storm. But when discovered, it caused an almighty scandal. The headline was "Artichoke Fools the Academy," now used as something primitive and mindless, taken seriously. See you also under Rolf Harris.
I had black hair when that started.
Barry.
Oh, poetic justice. Artichoke.
That's
a reference to Christian Barnard, the legendary surgeon, author of the seminal book Last of the Red Heart Murmurs, whose pioneer operation was the transplant for Bruce Forsyth. This is not generally known. Bruce originally demurred because he didn't want to walk around with a kidney on his head, but it did succeed brilliantly. And now Bruce has a head that Queen's Park Rangers want to play on. But the point being, Barnard, the pioneer, was the first man to realise that if you have a pacemaker and break wind, your garage door's open. He propounded the theory that chest irritation coupled with heavy coughing is an early warning system known colloquially as the scratch and snuff. But it's defined by Dr. Christian Barnard in his seminal work, Heart Itch Choke. Heart Itch Choke.
Heart Itch Choke. His hair is black again.
Christian Barnard.
Okay, Willie.
You'll have heard of Gene Autry, the singing cowboy. Well, not only did he sing, but he used to weave the odd tale around the artificial campfire. And one of these was about a cowboy riding the range full of buffalo, deer and antelope, and the cowboy got off his horse, strode up to one of the buffalo and said, "You bastard!" Got back on his horse and rode off. And the buffalo turned to the other buffalo and said, "You know, seldom you hear a discouraging word." And that was his only joke, and it was known as the Autry joke.
Finally, your definition, Graham.
Yes, I shall be brief, my lad. Artichoke's a new word that was introduced to the language after the popularity of the mobile phone, originally the radio telephone, shortened in army parlance to RT. And then you often see people nowadays with them in restaurants using these things. And in fact, this word describes the maneuver that all right-thinking people should do to some yuppie prat when they see them taking phone calls at the table. They perform the RT choke.
Right. Now it's up to me to decide which one is telling the truth. I don't know. I dismiss out of hand that rambling definition about Christian Barnard. Largely because I've taking notes and I can't spell Barnard. I used to like Gene Autry.
There was talk at the time, I remember.
No, I'm thinking about Gene Arthur, actually. I'll tell you, though.
Arthur
Askew,
you think?
Then there was the Australian hen walking through paint and walking all over a canvas. Sounded to me like a lot of Jackson Pollock, so I'm not going to allow that one.
Funny, huh?
Radio, telephone, auntie, jokes. I'm going to go for Willie's definition, the Gene Autry bit. So Willie,
truth or bluff?
Oh,
good Lord. You'll get one day,
Hunt. I know, they're not. I don't know why they never let me win. It'd be to their advantage if they did once in a while. So anyway, who's telling the truth? Again?
Who'd have thought?
And for those of you listening at home, don't worry. Next round. The next round is called Censored Song. As Mary Whitehouse has discovered, there's a lot of smutty and salacious material to be found these days, particularly if you know where to look for it. I personally have found an increasingly large amount of it on my television of late, ever since I bought a video machine, in fact. Teams, I'd like you please to sing a song of my choosing, but taking care to censor out, with the aid of our sophisticated bleeper system, anything liable to offend our more sensitive listener. You will be accompanied on the piano by Colin Sell. Oh, somebody's got past the censor already. Okay, Tim and Willie, will you start by singing a censored version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Okay, your turn, Barry and Graham, and your song is Run, Rabbit, Run.
Rabbit, rabbit, don't give the farmer his fun. He'll get by without his rabbit, 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 rabbit.
Very good. By time, the great healer is already beginning to administer the ointment, and I noticed that it's almost the end of the program. I've been looking at my watch. Before we go, though, I'll just squeeze in a round of Hospital Film Club. In this round, teams, I'd like you please to come up with some titles of films likely to be popular with doctors, nurses, and other members of the medical profession. And we're going to start with you, Dr. Garden.
Sleeping with the Enema.
Krakatoa, Estrogen of Java.
Oh, you've seen it.
Very good.
Dead Pans and Broomsticks.
Who's Afraid of Virginia Bottomley?
The Good, the Bad, and the Private Patients. Directed by Surgery Leone.
Up Stethoscope.
The pills have eyes.
Kind hearts and coronaries.
They love Bond films, the medical profession.
No, they don't. No, what a shame.
Bond parts. In. Gallstones are forever. Cold finger. Thunder bowel. For your thighs only. And chiropractor pussy, but that doesn't work.
Oh, what a lovely wart.
The Lone Ranger and Tonsil. Sound of mucus. Oh. Silence of the lungs. The greatest suppository ever sold.
One flew over the cuckoo nest. One flew.
Nuns with the runs.
Well, that really is all from us now. Join us again next week. In the meantime, it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from them. Goodbye.
Barry Fryer, Graham Garden and Willie Rushton have been given Silly Things to Do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by John Naismith.